What can possibly be the understanding of freedom for the many modern man and woman who see the world as determined, as a world without free will, a universe powered by uncontrolled flux, spewed by the grandiosity of nature's churning belly? When are you truly free? Do you have freedom when you are given liberty, or when you have become liberated? Now, what does this presuppose? The conquering of resistance. But what would one need to liberate themselves from to be truly free? We can come to understand that that which has been given liberty is not free at all, really. For in what way are they responsible for their own liberation? Well, they are not responsible at all. It may be given to them on a silver platter, but it would hold no true value for them as a person, because it did not come about through any personal cost, in a sense. Therefore, is it really freedom at all when no resistance has been fought? The measurement of freedom can be seen in those which have fought all battles of resistance and won, whereby their will to be responsible has overcome all hurdles to be responsible itself. Thus, if you have no strength, why would you ever have freedom? No will to be responsible means no will to respond to life's poisons, the poisons which try their hardest to make you their own, all the devils and demons inside and out. It's a first principle that strength is necessary to be free. One could say that freedom is never achieved until one overcomes resistance. For what are you when you subsume into that which overcomes you? In the fluctuating battle of wills, what do you become when given the mark of the beast, the stamp of enslavement? Which not only bends your will of dreams, but contorts it and devours it like cancer. Now, to allow for such a thing to happen is not very responsible, that the will to self-responsibility has festered away and allowed all else to crumble before you. So, what is the physiological value of man when he attains an interest in egoism? If he is to be selfish for his own development, man must be keen towards his physiology, to act within the world, to be direct and to claim his future dreams. But a man who has no physiological value with an intent to be an egotist of persona and not egoistic of one's will may lead themselves down a road of sickening and derangement, one of deceiting style and of less true dreaming substance. For the physical man, he will align nature to his desired conditions as much as possible for his intended development and place extremes in his way to overcome all hurdles, using the brute force of nature as his measuring rod to intended proclaim, treating it as the best friend and foe for self-mastery. Yet, the mental man will build beautiful towers of palace and clear glass without realizing how empty they are of nature and reality, that nature's force breaks all tall towers with just one strike of stone, and in so doing may even pave destructive paths of ressentiment from his rejection of nature's power, to idolize an alternative universe of mind and maya, all nothing but veils of beautiful deceit for the weak, to blind himself and all the many follower that he has seduced. To psychotically use intellectualism and mental arithmetic, driven instead by inner demons as the madman's best friend, all for the sake of blaming someone else for their own suffering than themselves, to enforce within what is good to be seen as ill, similar to transference in a sense, seeing the other individual incorrectly, with a glaze of their own unconscious repression, transferring the character of their own demons onto them. Thus, freedom is not that when one is deranged by mental juggling, but is instead in an unending eternal return of disappointment and self-loathing. negating nature when man lives in nature. He tries to negate his own ecosystem of grounded physiology for a system of his own making, one of idealism, in this state, the opposite of pragmatism. So, it's the hiker that feels freedom in the body when upon the peak of all mountain summits, when one looks above all mountain tops and reaches the end point of conquered resistance. For the freedom achieved is that when the will is free from minor troubles and ascends higher than any other resisting force. That all other conquered resistance has become a heightened tally to one's armour, like the armoured skeleton of death in tarot. His affirmation of life transcends all other resistance made upon him, bends them to serve his own will through encountered experience, like the reflection found upon his shining metal. Which brings us to the tarot. A truly free spirit is one of spontaneity, of unrestricted energy, ultimately one of unconformity, the one who raises the horned hand to all and many conformist. For invention is against all laws and doesn't play rule to any man's game. Thus, Le Mat, or the Fool, in tarot, embodies Flux to know that nothing can destroy him, that his creation will be his life and death, his beginning and end, fearless and with innocence in aspiration. And it is this energy we come to know that destroys all perpetuated stagnation when need be. Nothing can stand against the will of the divine. Le Mat, or the Fool, is that embodiment in human form, yet it is the sun which strikes the tower to bring about new life for a new beginning. The power of the sun is the divine will of God, for the sun is that which creates all life and is creative energy itself. Hence why in the tarot, the sun's rays destroy the tower of safety, the tower of protection, for the sake of new life, invention, and creation.